Talk Back with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
When,
when Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
He washed our sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting once again live from our studios in New York City. I've just returned from almost 4 weeks of traveling and filming for several new documentaries. This is at the same time that I have a documentary premiering starting this Friday. It's all sold out. All 14 showings are sold out. We're happy about that. And then about a month later, I'll be beginning a worldwide campaign to challenge the safety of our entire nuclear industry. I'm doing it at this time because I believe that we have more than enough compelling evidence, evidence that will withstand any pushback by the pro-nuclear forces, their lobbying groups, their scientists for hire, to show that virtually everything they've been telling us for the past 50 years is wrong. Half-truths or full-out lies. I'll also be sharing brand new information about Fukushima and the dangers from that to Americans. And it's nice to be back in New York City. I think this is one of the best cities in the world. It depends upon your perspective. You can walk around when it's hot outside and feel the heat and the humidity and all the people, and you'll see some sad faces and you'll smell some of the harsh smells of the city, and you'll wish that you were someplace else. And indeed, that's a perspective I think anyone could appreciate. But then again, when you're running in Central Park at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning and it's beautiful and the temperature's great and you can hear the birds awakening, and you see the people out of all ages getting themselves into shape. And then all the places in the city, all the museums, the culture, the people, the creativity, the really dynamic minds. Where else in the world can you have this many different dynamic minds coming together to share what they think is important? So we have not just Broadway and off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway. We have everything for everyone here. So I just happen to believe it's just a very special place with a lot of special people. Then again, I like to look for the best in something, and there's certainly a lot of that here. Now, I believe that we're about maybe a year, at most a year and a half away from being able to engage in some very positive social change. It'll begin this week. It'll begin and continue, because what I have is I have 12 documentaries, all very important. I can only mention two, Death by Medicine and Knocking on the Devil's Door. All the rest, because of their nature and the sensitivity of how I'm filming and who I'm filming and what's being said, I must keep under wraps. But as one group of individuals says we're ready, we'll have the tools to share with them in the form of documentary and articles and websites, so that worldwide people can all join together not to allow their governments, which more often than not do not do the right job. We see that in our own government. Special interest at the state level, at the local level, and the federal level. But where we, the people, can now begin through constructive working together, make change. So I just want to share that with you. Now, first up, I'm going to be giving you the latest on what's wrong with your mouth. You didn't think anything's wrong with your mouth? Just what comes out of it or what goes in it? No, I'll share some thoughts from Del Kiefer on that. Disease prevention begins in the mouth. And then the latest on nutrients. And then, time permitting, some environmental update that you should know about. And tomorrow I'll be talking more in depth about how virtually the entire scientific community now is rallying around the solar storm stories that we've been reporting on. And I'll give you all those stories, all the different websites. I'm talking about credible scientific ones. So it's not, is this solar storm going to happen? It's how bad it will be. Some predict 1,000 times worse than Hurricane Katrina. Maybe, maybe not. But I'll deal with that on tomorrow's show. So let's begin. For those of you who know anyone who has diabetes, as you know, when a person has diabetes, they have all forms of other conditions, generally kidney failure. The good news is a new study by a professor has revealed that zinc, simple zinc, keeps a protein called amylin in check and acts like a security guard in preventing major damage from diabetes. He's a professor of chemistry and biophysics, University of Michigan. He and his colleagues explained that in type 2 diabetes, that's the type that adults and many children now have, amylin forms dense clumps that shut down insulin-producing cells, wreaking havoc on the control of blood sugar. Amylin has been explained as something of a two-faced character. In healthy people who have normal levels of zinc in the insulin-producing islets, cells of the pancreas, amylin actually pitches in to help with blood sugar regulation. This is because the molecular term zinc prevents amylin, also known as islet amyloid polypeptide, from forming harmful clumps similar to those found in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, Huntington's, and various other degenerative diseases. However, if you're deficient in zinc, and most Americans are, hence your zinc-starved cellular environment ends up, you also have diabetes, now you got a problem. There, amylin has no watchful guard. It's free to clump together with other amyloid molecules in the molecular equivalent of a gang. This clumping eventually leads to the formation of ribbon-like structures called fibrils. And because fibril formation has been linked to a number of human diseases, it was long assumed that fibrils themselves were toxic. The study shows that the binding of zinc in the middle makes one end of the amylin molecule, called the N-terminus, more orderly. So, in lay language, this was published in the Journal of Molecular Biology, take 25 milligrams, 30 milligrams a day of zinc, and you could help prevent some serious side effects from being diabetic. Twice a year I go to a holistic dentist, not because I have cavities, but because I want to make sure that I have nothing going on in my gums or mouth, teeth, that could be a problem. And the good news is it's always good because I take a lot of time each day. I make sure that I do not allow sugars in the mouth. Now, I'm talking about processed sugars, not naturally occurring sugars. But even after eating an orange or having orange juice, you better be aware that a glass of orange juice, a glass of grapefruit juice, very good for you, not good for your gums, not good for your teeth. And that can corrode your teeth. That can eat away the enamel. People are not aware of that. In fact, people who have a lot of acidic foods, like tomatoes, for example, also can have the quality of your teeth diminish substantially. But then we don't think about things. Even today, I worked all day in the office and was writing my commentaries I'm going to be using on my program tomorrow evening, the Progressive Commentary Hour, which, by the way, I want to thank you all. It is now the most downloaded radio program in America of all radio stations, of all radio programs. Just one program, 120,000 downloads. So that's a lot. Let me put it in perspective. That's more people downloading one show over the internet than all of the people listening to WBAI 24/7 in a week. So anyhow, I'm writing original, some really powerful commentaries. And so I took a break, went for a walk, got a juice, and someone came over to me and there was some, again, this is what people just don't even think about. They were buying some things. And the person came over and says, "Gary." I said, "Yes." Said, "I'm, you know, changing my diet for the better." And I said, "No, simple question for you. When you get home, what are you going to do with those things you just bought?" "Well, I'm going to put them away. I'm going to use them." I said, do you realize how many people touch that who may not have washed their hands, who may have fecal matter on their hands? So that little box you have that says triple washed arugula, it is. That'll be triple washed, but the box it comes in isn't. Now think of the people that pack the box, unpack the box, people who then put the box up on the shelf, and all the people coming into a store who handle that box. You could have 50 pair of hands who've touched that. Now what's on their hands can stay for days. Bacteria, viruses, parasites. Do you realize how many different times a day people cough in their hands, sneeze in their hands, viruses in their hands? All that then is transferred to what they touch. And the person then looked down at this shopping cart and said, I hadn't thought about that. It's like that bottle of salad dressing. That's a good salad dressing. Very tasty. But why don't you do this? This is what I do. Every single thing I purchase, when I get it home, I simply soak hydrogen peroxide and alcohol combined on a big paper towel, and I wipe it down. So I'll wipe down the bottle of let's say, a salad dressing, or if that was a box of salad greens, I'll wipe it down. That immediately kills the virus, bacteria, and parasites, and anything from contaminated hands no longer will contaminate. Because look at it this way. How many times are you likely to open something and then use your fingers to eat something without realizing you're just now creating an awful lot of unnecessary disease? Now, what about the disease gets in your mouth? You realize that disease in the mouth can play havoc with your oral hygiene. And by the way, I had a buddy who did something that it's hard to make this stuff up. We were on a trip to Italy. My brothers, a couple other buddies, a whole bunch of us went over there. And he speaks fluent Italian. And in the morning, he'd say, ready to go. And he came out, and I saw him putting his toothbrush away. And I said, you brush your teeth? He said, yes, every morning. First thing when I get up, I brush my teeth. I said, I've never seen you brush your teeth after you eat. Why don't? I said, well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow morning, when you get up and go into the bathroom, do this. Go in first and wipe. Then come back later and defecate. But don't wipe. And I said, then ask yourself, but you wiped? Well, that was before you defecated. Shouldn't you wipe after? Shouldn't you actually wash with soap and water after? Shouldn't you brush your teeth after you eat when the food particles? And I thought I was talking with a complete moron. He just didn't get it. Because, well, that's the way we attack. Yeah, well, your attack's done a lot of stupid things. So it doesn't make it right because you do it. Anyhow, I don't know if he's changed his ways or not. Probably not. But first and foremost, brush gently. Have you ever watched in movies when guys shave? They take a little bit of shaving cream off, you know, and then suddenly they wipe off with a towel. That just makes your skin sticky. Kind of that gooey, sticky crap. You wash your face, but then, you know, like a real men don't wash their face, Gary. We just kind of put a lot of that white stuff on and then wipe it. We're tough. No, you're an idiot. That's what you are. You're a complete idiot. I couldn't believe it when I watched these. And then the people in the movies, they take like 2 seconds to brush their teeth, and it's like they're angry at the world. I'm going to take this anger out of my teeth. And then they spit. Well, you didn't get the back teeth, and you didn't take your time, you didn't get under the gums, and you're going back and forth. You shouldn't brush your teeth back and forth. It's up and down gently, because you know you're going to wear off your enamel from the brushing. Oh, didn't know that? No. And how about that flossing? Do you take your time and floss and go up and down and around? No. Do you use a water pick to get up underneath there? No. Well, then you got some bacteria. Yeah, I do. How do you know I do? Well, how about let's start your breath stinks. Yeah, you think so? Yeah, I'm across the room. I'm telling you, friend, your breath stinks. Right? It would be more aesthetically pleasing kissing a pig's ass than being about a foot away from your mouth. Because you can't smell your own breath. Trust me, We can. There should be a policeman out there on the streets that when you walk down the street, he has a little wand, and it measures your bad breath. Bad breath, you go to the right side of the street, yeah. So at least we know who's got the bad breath. Just bad body odors. Well, there's three reasons you got bad breath. One, poor oral hygiene. And did I remember that you use a mouthwash and you gargle for a full 60 seconds, then you spit it out, and when you open your mouth and all that white foam, that's bacteria. And then you take your tongue cleanser and you gently, not hard, you scrape that off and rinse it, scrape it off and rinse it, and then rinse your mouth. Now your mouth is clean. But you brush your teeth, but you didn't do any water picking. You didn't do the real dental floss well. You brush sideways, you didn't brush back teeth, so now you got some infection up in the back end of your gum. Your gums are receding, and your tongue is like a sponge. Remember, the tongue is a sponge. That's where all your millions of little cells are, that when you breathe in, and it goes up into the nostrils, but first it goes across your tongue so you smell what you just ate. In fact, you can't taste anything unless you first smell it. If you doubt me, right now, go in and take any piece of food, hold your nose, and put it in your mouth. You won't taste anything. But a lot of food has oil, volatile oils, that get into that sponge and they stay there. That's why you get garlic breath. That's why you have, because you're not cleaning that off. Now, all this leads to one thing, including touching your hand to your mouth, your finger in your mouth, systemic infection. And systemic infection leads to systemic inflammation. And that can profoundly impact diseases. Now, what can it cause? Listen carefully. This is important. Type 2 diabetes, cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, and arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis. The recent scientific studies show that many of the nutrients we now swallow also confer benefits when topically applied to the mouth, and acting as powerful allies in the fight against periodontal disease, these natural compounds can help safeguard against lethal age-related diseases that emanate in your mouth. Most people are just unaware of this. First, let's break it down. The gums. Why are the gums a cause of a lot of bad breath? Because the gums are spongy and you frequently can't feel an infection till it gets to an abscess level. But every time you eat, the gums are compressed, meaning your outer musculature presses against the gums as your teeth come down and little bits of pus come out. A little bit of pus and a little bit of blood. And some people, quite a little bit of blood. But they don't pay attention because it's in their saliva. Unless, of course, you kiss someone and without first looking to see what you're kissing, in which case you just got some pus and blood. Oh, bad. You know what's really bad? Is movies that show people kissing in the morning. Hi, dear. Hi. Oh, kiss, kiss. What are we sharing? Bad breath. Mucus. Pus. Blood. Bacteria. Pucker up again. God. So, but you notice, dog's breath. Well, people have got dog's breath. Part of the problem is those gums, because you forgot to get them looked at. When was the last time you actually opened your mouth and looked at your gums? You see, the oral cavity is a near perfect breeding ground for microorganisms that lead to decay of the gums and teeth and bone. And cavities and gum problems that occur in early life, that's just the beginning. For example, they'll create chronic low-grade inflammation, and that's going to create gingivitis and inflammation affecting the gums and bones, supporting the teeth. That's periodontitis. And that's been implicated in the promotion of a variety of really bad systemic disorders like coronary heart disease, arthritis, and even cancer. And oral inflammation also has been clearly linked to elevated markers of inflammation like C-reactive protein. So, in response to these warning signs, scientists are saying that there is a definite link between periodontal disease and several systemic diseases, and it's getting out of hand. Now, let me just give you one example. Gum disease sets the stage for an increased risk of stroke. A recent review of literature on periodontal disease published in the Journal of the American Dental Association concludes that inflammation of the gums is associated with an increased risk of developing systemic diseases like diabetes, heart attack, and stroke. And meanwhile, studies show that efforts to reduce the severity of periodontal inflammation help reduce systemic inflammation, and thereby you reduce the risk of cardiovascular events linked with inflammation. Some researchers are now even suggesting that periodontal conditions can contribute to obesity by elevating C-reactive protein. Ah, but you thought C-reactive protein was because of too much meat in the diet and too much dairy. Yes, but you can also be a vegan, and if you have gum disease, end up with high C-reactive protein. And then that acts as a potent inducer of inflammatory cytokines and hormones secreted by, you guessed it, adipose tissue. And science has found that elevated C-reactive protein causes fat cells, adipocytes, to store more fat and burn less energy. And indeed, evidence is accumulating that there's a link between obesity, type 2 diabetes, and periodontal inflammation. And then there's cancer. The link between what goes on in your mouth and cancer remains right out there. And there was a study published by the Imperial College of London and Harvard School of Public Health that shed new light on the matter. By carefully eliminating potential co-founding factors, such as your history of cigarette smoking and a lot of other things that we know cause cancer, they came to the idea that periodontal condition is associated with a small but significant increase in overall cancer risk, which persisted even in non-smokers. So what do we do about this? Well, we now know as of tomorrow how to keep our oral hygiene clean. But first go to a holistic dentist to make sure that you get the silver mercury fillings out, that you have no recession of your gum lines, that you have no inflammation, low-level inflammation that you wouldn't otherwise know about that could be contributing to a bacterial overgrowth in the mouth, in which case you are infecting every spoon, every fork, and every glass because you're not sterilizing at home. And therefore, even when you kiss someone, you're passing it on to them. Not good. So here's the good news. This is my own particular program for reducing problems in the mouth. First, I want you to realize that bacteria thrive in your mouth. The bacteria then contribute to inflammation. So awareness then that any inflammation in the body can go to other parts of the body, including the heart, and therefore can even be found, the bacteria in your mouth can be found in living plaque in the arteries. Green tea can help this. Aloe vera, xylitol, folic acid, washing with some hydrogen peroxide, coenzyme Q10, it can reduce inflammation that accompanies gum disease, generally at 500 milligrams. And also, you can topically apply it, and that's very important. Pomegranate also is great for periodontal health because it helps prevent the adherence of plaque-inducing bacteria to the teeth by directly killing oral microorganisms and quieting inflammation in the gums. Quercetin at 2,000 milligrams in divided doses, vitamin C at 5,000 milligrams, and vitamin D at 2,000 units. So rinsing the mouth with natural bioactive ingredients, brushing, flossing properly, gently up and down, stimulating the gums, using gum stimulators, that's very good. And green tea is just one of the best things in the world because it works on a bio level throughout the body. It can fight tooth decay, oral diseases of all kinds, and so these are things you can do on a daily basis. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to be opening up our lines right now for questions and people calling in from all over North America. You can call at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And while you're calling in, I'm going to give you some of the latest on health and nutrition update information. First and foremost, green tea and vitamin D reduce bone loss. In a brand new study, it was shown that the green tea polyphenols and vitamin D are important in overcoming low-grade inflammation known to negatively affect bone health. And they produce a synergistic effect that increases bone mineral density, reduces oxidative stress, reduces inflammation and DNA damage, and positively impacts hormones involved in bone health. So that's all good there. Then, there's a whole lot going on when it comes to understanding the role of the omega-3 fatty acids. It's good for the brain. It turns off inflammation in the heart. It improves mitochondrial function. It reduces oxidative stress. It's tremendous for reducing brain damage caused by a lack of oxygen, like in a stroke. And when you get omega-3 immediately after a stroke, you can significantly lessen brain damage. And also, lignans, L-I-G-N-A-N-S, flax lignans from flaxseed, and citrus together fight breast cancer. There was a recent study that examined the effects of flax and sesame lignans on estrogen receptor-positive human breast cancer cells that have been implicated in strong cancer. And they found that flax lignans reduce proliferation and increase the rate of programmed cell death of human breast cancer cells, while sesame lignans, L-I-G-N-A-N-S, also work. So, two things to include. And finally, inflammation plays a central role in cardiovascular disease and obesity and metabolic syndrome. And now we know that fat cells are major drivers of inflammation. So the fatter you are, the more inflammation you have going on in your body. And that can control a lot of metabolic functions and feedback loops in the body that can contribute to heart disease and diabetes and cancer. So everything you do should be to turn off inflammation. Now, what are some of your best things? Well, one of the very best is cinnamon. Cinnamon oil, cinnamon in capsules, cinnamon sprinkled on food, but a lot of it, fish oil, and green tea. Those are your three, and curcumin. Those are four of the best single things you can do to turn on inflammation. And women in this audience, if you're over the age of 40, you should be considering having your DHEA levels checked, because that will go down with age, and DHEA is the master hormone. From it, all these other hormones are frequently created. And if you're low, you're not going to be utilizing vitamin D and calcium as well. So it can contribute to bone density. It'll improve bone density. And men out there, one more thing to add in based upon an article in Cancer Research to improve your prostate cancer survival, vitamin E. Participants in this study whose vitamin E levels were in the top fifth of participants were found to have 33% lower risk of dying of prostate cancer. And I didn't see that it was that big. I would have taken a person up to 1,500 units of mixed tocopherol and 300 of tocotrienols. And if you want to help prevent macular degeneration, healthy fats. What are the two healthiest fats? Organic coconut oil and organic olive oil. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with your calls. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Let's continue to look at some of the things that can improve our well-being and hopefully help us. A lot of men in this audience have asked me about what can they do to help if they just don't have the testosterone level, and as a result, they don't have the energy, the enthusiasm, the focus that they once had. Now, unfortunately, put this in perspective, there was a time when if you no longer found joy in the things you once did, you were considered going through, well, some kind of a depression. Or if you went out and started to tinker with cars and everything, well, you're trying to relive your youth. These are nonsense. What we're really dealing with in the vast majority of men over the age of 40, when they no longer are as emotionally attached to anything, including people, is that this is a biochemical response. Now, just as men have not appreciated historically what a woman goes through, or at least those women who have painful periods, because you can't see it. All you can see is someone who is suffering. And then you think, would you whiz, what is a hot flash? What's a mood swing? How can a person go from happy to sad in just a blink of an eye? And that's why a lot of people do not appreciate the full measure of what a woman goes through when she has hormonal imbalances. Now, I'm asking all the women in this audience, please understand that men go through something very similar. It's called andropause. And normally, men will not have the symptoms that are easy to detect because it's a slow process. So you go from finding something very enjoyable, like a hobby, to not enjoyable at all. You just kind of withdraw. And men withdraw their energy. They become less inclined to want to do things. You also can see it subtly. You can see it in the graying of the hair. You can see it in the jowiness, the drop in their musculature, starting to get some wrinkled skin under the arms. The knees no longer are tight, the skin on them, a little bit of bagging. These all come together, and that's because our testosterone is diminishing. So maintaining normal testosterone levels is one of the most important steps you can take to regain your health and improve your performance. So if you're over 40 and you're starting to feel in any way debilitated, fatigued, loss of muscle mass, loss of interest, loss of libido, all of these are interrelated. In fact, by the time you're 50, you produce 50% less testosterone than you did at age 20. When everything was far more interesting and you had more energy. So with that drastic reduction come several well-documented problems. Depression, cognitive impairment, reduced sex drive, a belly, and normal testosterone has been associated with maintaining healthier cardiovascular health. So here are some positive things that we can do. First, get off the meat. Because the more estrogen you have, that's from the meat, the less testosterone. So in effect, you can say that that meat is causing you a lot of problems. Instead, go towards a vegetarian diet. Lots of juices. The more green juices you consume, the healthier you're going to be, the more energy you're going to have. And then to help your overall energy, your mitochondria, there are three nutrients that can make a difference. One is coenzyme Q10. I would suggest over the age of 40, about 500 milligrams a day, along with 100 milligrams, that means 520 milligrams tablets of NADH, and then L-carnitine, C-R-N, carn-a-teen, that at 1,000 milligrams a day, 500 and 500, morning and afternoon, would be terrific. Now, there are a lot of other things you can add on to that that go beyond giving you energy, but actually help to rebuild natural estrogen levels, especially free testosterone, free testosterone levels. Write them down. Crysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N. I'm suggesting between 1,000 and 1,500 milligrams. Bioperine, B-I-O-P-E-R-I-N-E. It's actually a black pepper extract, and that enhances the absorption of chrysin. I'm going to suggest 10 to 15 milligrams. Mura Puama, M-U-I-R-A, P-U-A-M-A. I'm suggesting 600 to 800 milligrams. Nettle root, 200 milligrams. Ginger root, 50 milligrams. Zinc, 25 milligrams. And maca. And you can buy that as a powder and throw it into a health shake in the morning. MACA, 300 to 400 milligrams. Now, when people have tried this, I've gotten feedback that they're feeling better, their moods have lifted, they are more energetic, they're reconnecting their energy with old ideas that they had. So, very good that you try that. Now, also, as men and women age, in women, that's over the age of 25. 25 on, you're actually aging. You have to be concerned about your glutathione and its synthesis in our body. It is one of the single most important protective nutrients in the body. Now, glutathione is what's called a tripeptide. It's an antioxidant, and it protects you against reactive oxygen species. So if you had an X-ray, boy, would you want, or any radiation exposure, you'd want glutathione in the body. So new research has shown from Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that finding a reduction in glutathione synthesis in older individuals, which can be reversed by supplementing with simple amino acids, N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, at 500 milligrams twice a day, and glycine, G-L-Y-C-I-N-E. And that's so easy to get. So if you want to have more glutathione, which you need, it's the major detoxifying nutrient in the body, you need to take those two. All right, that's easy to do. Well, if you want to stave off diabetes, and who doesn't, or diabetes insulin resistance, you can do so now with muscle training. That's right. New research just out shows that, quote, it seems that hitting the gym and resistance training may not only keep you fit and looking smart, but also will lower your risk of type 2 diabetes. People who are overweight are more likely to have insulin resistance because fat interferes with the body's ability to use insulin. And type 2 diabetes, by the way, doesn't happen quickly. It's generally gradual. So the vast majority of individuals who end up with diabetes end up first with pre-diabetes. And that pre-diabetes can take years, eating the wrong foods, not exercising, having a fasting blood sugar level that's too high, above 110 is too high. And then suddenly one day they get the diagnosis, which, gee whiz, how did this just happen? It didn't just happen. So when they took a look at 13,644 adults, and they took a look at their body mass index, and they showed that they had too much fat in the body, that meant they were more vulnerable to having diabetes. But the more they exercised, and the less body fat they had, and the more muscle they had, they reduced their diabetes insulin resistance. So, you want to have a healthier body, be more resistant to diabetes, do some muscle work. The Mayo Clinic finds green tea extracts fight leukemia. This is in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, and they found that the active ingredients, which I've spoken a lot about on this program, just to abbreviate, it's EGCG. The EGCG, which stands for epigallocatechin gallate, can help people with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And they're suggesting between 400 and 2,000 milligrams twice a day of an extract of EGCG. And they did it in 8 doses, and they followed this for 6 months. Well, just for healthy, normal people, I suggest 1,000 milligrams a day. And for people who are sick, depending upon the illness and their age and other biochemical factors, I might have them go up to 2,000 or 3,000 milligrams of black tea, white tea, green tea, red tea. The Journal of the Neurology and Neurosurgery and Psychiatry shows that higher vitamin D levels are associated with speedier brain processing. That's right. They found that that men with higher levels of vitamin D perform better on a test of attention and speed of information processing than those with lower levels. So make sure you're getting out into the sun. I suggest about one-third of your body for about half hour a day. That'll give you anywhere from 5 to 20,000 units of vitamin D from the sun, and that will protect you and help you. And for those parents who were told, well, vitamins won't impact your autistic child, they are wrong. They do impact. In fact, the good news is that in the park, Center Park yesterday, we had our Natural Living Running and Walking Club doing our workout. And one of the individuals, his name is Jonathan Ortega. He takes a lot of vitamins. He also was chelated. He juices. He was full spectrum, end stage spectrum, autistic on 4 tranquilizers, still unable to control his anger and his behavior. And the psychiatrist said, put him on a 5th. The mother, who was well studied on this subject, said that would end up killing him. And the doctor said, there's nothing else medicine can do. She came home. She was really overwhelmed. She was sitting at her table in her kitchen. She had the radio on. She was listening to the program, and I was talking about some research that showed that nutrients that could help prevent seizures. Well, many kids with autism spectrum disorder also suffer from seizures. So she tried the protocol, and it worked, and then went on more and more protocol until finally one day, Jonathan is a completely normal young man. Now he's a teenager and doing terrific. One of the things he was taking was very high levels of vitamin B12, 1 to 2 milligrams of methylated B12 plus folic acid, which is considered a part of the B complex, and at 1 milligram of methylated folic acid plus 100 milligrams twice a day of the B complex. Now, he's taking a lot of things, but those are two. Now, here's one of the important studies from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, as reported by Del Kiefer. Quote, a recent clinical trial suggests that supplementation with the B vitamin methylcobalamin and folinic acid may benefit autistic children. Scientists believe that metabolic abnormalities underlie some neurobehavioral conditions, such as autism, and that targeted nutrients may therefore be therapeutic. Investigators in Arkansas at Children's Hospital treated 40 autistic children for 3 months with a form of vitamin B12 that is active in the central nervous system, that's the one I'm suggesting, and folinic acid, which has vitamin activity equivalent to folic acid. At the study's onset, autistic subjects had significantly different levels of biomarkers associated with oxidative stress and detoxification capacity, compared with healthy control subjects. After treatment, these biomarkers improved significantly, although not to the level seen in unaffected controlled children. Glutathione levels also increased significantly among autistic subjects. Quote, the significant improvements suggest that targeted nutritional intervention with vitamin B12 and folinic acid may be of clinical benefit in some children who have autism, unquote. Now, mind you, this is the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, a major study, and yet went nowhere. No one tried it. Well, I want to tell you something. Go back to what I said earlier about glutathione. They didn't give these kids glutathione. I would have given them glutathione, including grapeseed extract, glutamine, alpha-lipoic acid, and at high doses. That would have created more glutathione. I would have also given them injections of glutathione. That would have stimulated greater detoxification, where they frequently are impaired in this, and then give them probiotics 3 times a day, because almost all these kids diagnosed with autism have gastrointestinal problems, and they have leaky gut syndrome, they have gluten intolerances, and by getting them on a gluten-free diet, this was not a gluten-free diet, and giving them probiotics, and they didn't give probiotics, then you could start to see measurable differences. It's just, they're just not looking at the larger picture. American science is extremely reluctant to make major changes. They do it incrementally. Everything is still this old model, this old Newtonian model of 1 begets 2 begets 3 begets 4. They're not looking quantitatively. You got a high blood pressure? Good news from Nutrition, Metabolism, Cardiovascular Disease. Magnesium can decrease blood pressure. That's right. According to a study from South Korea, magnesium supplements decreases blood pressure in adults with hypertension. And the study was conducted to determine the effects of magnesium on insulin sensitivity and blood pressure in overweight adults who had normal magnesium levels and no diabetes. They took 155 people who were randomly assigned to receive either 300 milligrams of a placebo or 300 milligrams of magnesium per day for 12 weeks. And the results showed that there was not a difference in insulin sensitivity. However, it substantially lowered the blood pressure in those who had high blood pressure. So, quote, this is what they concluded. Magnesium supplementation may help prevent the progression of hypertension in healthy, overweight adults. And that's good news. And finally, in our back-end segment here, moderate levels of estradiol tied to living longer. This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. I'll quote this. Estradiol levels that are either too low or too high increase death risk in men with chronic heart failure, according to a new study. More than 500 men were followed for 3 years as investigators examined the relationship between serum levels of estradiol and risk of death among men with systemic chronic heart failure. Based on estradiol levels, subjects were assigned to one of five categories, and then everything was reviewed, and but these findings highlight the importance of optimal hormone levels in the pursuit of longevity. Now, here's my thought. I believe that men will have normal hormone levels if the master hormone, DHEA, which most men are grossly deficient in, is rebalanced. So rather than taking hormones and synthetic hormone therapy, which I'm opposed to, they should take their blood, see what their level is of testosterone, estrogen, DHEA, and cortisol, and then simply rebalance with DHEA. That creates all the other hormones. Ginger reduces nausea in cancer patients. Well, almost every cancer patient taking radiation or chemotherapy has nausea. According to the Journal of Clinical Oncology, ginger made the difference. It relieved nausea among cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. And so that was presented at the annual American Society of Clinical Oncology. And by about 70%, so that's a big improvement. Now here's the question. How many oncologists now suggest ginger for those taking chemotherapy? Well, I just decided to test this, so I asked five people who had undergone chemotherapy, and how about none were told this? And one of the reasons I don't want people having high triglyceride levels is because a high triglyceride level can end up causing you problems with your nerves. Here's the latest from the peer-reviewed journal Diabetes. Quote, new evidence suggests that progression of diabetic neuropathy is closely tied to elevated triglyceride levels among diabetics, characterized by pain, tingling, and possible loss of function in affected extremities. Diabetic neuropathy is a common complication of type 2 diabetes. They conducted two identical controlled trials in patients suffering from diabetic neuropathy. They examined specific nerves in the lower leg, measuring parameters and such as the myelinated fiber density and nerve conduction velocity. And they found that you got high fat, you're going to have neuropathy at a higher level. So you don't want these high blood fat levels. They're bad for you. So you've got to get yourself onto a healthy diet and take healthy oils. Looking at the clock, we're almost up to the end of our program. Let me just mention a few more things. If you want to reduce inflammation in your body, and you should, because that inflammation can lead to cancer, heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, then a flavonoid called lutein, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N, helps reduce that. And that's according to Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. In fact, they studied lutein's effects on the microglia, brain cells involved in immune defense. And they found that when people had the lutein in their system, they had less of these pro-inflammatory cytokines, interleukin 6, by as much as 90%. So turn off the inflammation. Take a simple, inexpensive, non-toxic, healing nutrient, lutein. And melatonin improves sleep in a lot of critical care patients. I would suggest between 2 and 10 milligrams a night. In fact, they tested this and they found out that against a placebo and found it made an enormous difference. You could get longer sleep and better sleep. Well, let me correct that. I'm going to say, for the average person, 1 to 2 milligrams a night. That's it. 1 to 2 milligrams a night. And that was in the peer-reviewed journal Clinical Care. I want to thank you all for taking your time to listen in, learn something about how we can live a longer and healthier life. And as I said earlier in the show, be aware of hygiene. We become very cavalier about hygiene. When I was out at the farmer's market filming the great chef David Boulay for a new special I'm doing on Saturday, I noticed people everywhere just picking up strawberries and chewing on them. Okay, that's good, but how many other hands touched the strawberry before yours? How many people didn't realize how many bacteria and viruses and parasites that were on that strawberry that are now in your system? What if you have a weakened immune system and therefore you end up with an infection in your gums, in your throat, in your intestines? So a little bit of hygiene goes a long way. Have a nice day, everyone.